So I want to ask you a question. How many of you growing up had a paper route where you actually got on your bike or walked through town, maybe on rainy days or inclement weather days, your parents took you around, but you actually had a paper route where you would take the papers and door to door or toss them on porches, maybe put them in the newspaper boxes. How many of you had one of those jobs? Go ahead and put it in the comments if you had a paper route and how many years that you did that paper route. I personally didn't have one, but my brother Alan did. And I remember on Saturday nights, I believe it was, that we would help him stuff the papers. So we'd take the coupons and the ads and everything. He'd have to stuff them in the Sunday edition of the paper so that when he went and delivered those, everybody would have their coupons, of course, for the start of the new week. And newspaper, of course, you get the print all over you and everything. And it's hard to imagine now in this day and age, allowing our kids to get on a bike or go walking through any community with a bag on their shoulder, putting newspapers in people's boxes, usually when it's dark because you want to do it really early. And sometimes they'd be carrying money with them, like collecting from people that were paying. My wife was actually a newspaper carrier in Indianapolis. So if you think about Kalkaska and whether or not you'd let your kids out of your sight for that many blocks covering a territory, handing out papers, imagine a city like Indianapolis and allowing your daughter to go on her bike or taking those papers around. It's hard to one of those things is just kind of hard to fathom. But many of you growing up had those paper routes. And it was kind of a way to make a little cash for you. Well, if you remember the musical Newsies, we saw a production of it at Traverse City Central High School a couple years ago. Just phenomenal performance. But in the late 1800s, they called these boys Newsies, and they would be on the corner. They would be selling their newspapers. But the point of being a Newsie is that, or a newspaper person, is that you had news that you wanted to get out. You had news that you wanted to have delivered to whatever your audience may have been. Well, today we're launching a new series in the book of Romans, and we're entitling it, Grace is Still Amazing. Because grace absolutely is still amazing. And this guy named Paul has this message. He's a first century newsie, if you will, in that he wants to get this message out to all these different churches and all these different people. And we're going to look at one particular piece of news and information that he wanted to get out to this church in Rome. And this church in Rome was in the heart of the lion, if you will. Rome was a very influential, if not the most influential place in all of the world at that time. And Paul was writing this letter to this church. We don't think that he actually started, but he wanted to get this message to them about grace, this message to them that grace is a free gift and not something that we earn. And he wanted everybody to understand it. Well, before we get too far into that, I'm going to back up a little bit because there may be some people that are listening that aren't as familiar with this guy, Paul. So allow me just a few seconds, a few minutes maybe, to give a little bit of background of who this guy named Paul was. His name actually used to be Saul. And what we know about Saul, our first introduction to him, is in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, there were some guys that were set aside to be deacons, diakonos, those that served. And in particular, to help make sure that the Greek widows and orphans had food around the table when they gathered together. And one of those guys' name was Stephen. Well, Stephen, it says in Acts chapter 7, full of the Holy Spirit, got out and started preaching. And he started preaching this amazing message about who God is and walk people through the Old Testament and walk through the prophecy and said, the Messiah has come, his name is Jesus. And then, of course, at the end, he has to say, and you killed him. Well, as you can imagine, the people in the area, especially the Jewish people there and the leaders of the religious sects that were there and the religious leaders, they didn't really take kindly to Stephen's message. So he was drug out and he was actually stoned to death. And as the people were stoning him, it says in Acts 7:58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, Saul was this guy that in Acts chapter 3, it tells us, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. This is who Saul was. The Bible will tell us that he's a Pharisee. He was one of those religious political in one of those religious political parties He learned from one of the best in among the Pharisees, and he felt like he was very devout toward following God, but he absolutely did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah that was written about in the Old Testament. In fact, he wanted to make sure that this whole Jesus thing was put to an end. As far as Jews at that time that didn't believe in Jesus, he was dead and buried and never resurrected. And so Saul wanted to make sure that this thing was put to rest, that all of it was squelched, and he was going around and he was ravaging the church and pulling people and putting them under arrest. In fact, Acts 9:1-6, this was the account of when Saul was breathing threats out once again, but he had this encounter with Jesus. It reads like this: Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that was what the Christian movement was called at the time, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." So he went to Damascus. He met with this guy named Ananias. Ananias shared the gospel with Saul, and Saul was baptized, gave his life to Christ. And he's then known by the name of Paul. And Paul went from being a persecutor of churches and dragging people into prison to actually going around the then known world on a few missionary journeys, planting churches and sharing with Jews and Gentiles who Jesus is, converting them to Christianity. That's the guy that's writing this letter. Now, again, we don't believe that he planted this church in Rome. We don't know who planted it. We don't know where those believers were that kind of started this thing. What we do believe is because of some casting out of Jewish people that was done in Rome, that most of this church is made up of Gentile believers, people that had no background when it came to knowing who God is, this God of the Israelites, and who had to start from square one. So with that being said, we dive in to Romans chapter 1, and even just the first verse says this: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. When we look at Paul's opening statement in any of his letters, it's very tempting to kind of gloss over them or read them very quickly and not slow down and say, what is he really saying? But Paul is saying, listen, I'm an apostle, all right? I was sent by Jesus himself. And while I wasn't one of the 12, I did have my encounter with Jesus, and he's the one that sent me on this mission. And he says, I've been set aside for that. And so when we take Paul's initial comments and we put them on top of our church, Kalkaska Church of Christ, or whatever church you may belong to, wherever you reside, we have to say, how can we put this letter on top of our life to say, what are we being called to because of this letter that Paul wrote? And the first thing I would say is that our purpose is to abide by God's calling. Our purpose is to abide by God's calling. Well, it begs the question, okay, then what is our calling from God that he has for us? Well, the first thing I would start with is John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus is getting ready to institute the Lord's Supper, have the Passover meal with the disciples. And before he does, when they sit down, he notices nobody is set aside or assigned the duty of washing people's feet. And so Jesus takes a basin of water, the Bible tells us. He takes a towel and wraps it around his waist, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And he has some interaction with the disciples through this. But in verses 14 and 15, he says, this is my point. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. So when it comes to this mission that we are on, what God has called us to do in our area, one, we need to be servants. We need to serve one another, wash one another's feet, care for one another. Second, Paul says, I'm an apostle. I'm a sent one. Well, I would say that you and I have been called to apostleship as well. Not, of course, one of the 12, but we've been called to be an apostle, a sent one by Jesus. In Matthew 28:18-20, a very popular passage of scripture with our church, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, there's another passage of scripture, or another verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We probably don't cover that one as much as we should, but it's a very popular passage when it comes to missionaries. In Acts 1, 8, Jesus is talking and he's telling the disciples, this is what you need to do. You need to go into this room, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem locally and in Judea in their region and Samaria, the nation, and the end of the earth, the world. You will be my witnesses locally, regionally, nationally, and around the world. We've been called to be servants, to serve one another, and to serve those around us. And we've been called to be apostles, sent ones with a message of what Jesus taught, teaching them the things that I've taught you, teach them to obey those things, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples. That's our mission. That's our message we've been sent with as apostles. And where? Right here in Kalkaska, in Michigan, in the United States, and yes, around the world. And the third thing he says is that I've been set apart. Well, 2 Corinthians 3:2 has become a very favorite verse of mine. I discovered it while getting ready for a Discover KCC type class at our last church. And I don't know why I didn't remember it from reading it before, but it really stuck out in this one time when I was just studying and preparing for that class. In 2 Corinthians, the same guy, Paul, he wrote this in chapter 3, verse 2. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. You see, we've not only been called to serve others, we've also been called to be apostles, to be sent out with a message. Because as we send that message, we are a letter of recommendation written on our hearts so that others may see us and want to know who Jesus is. You see, if the letter of recommendation that we're displaying for people is that we're a church that doesn't love each other or serve each other, people are going to say, why would I want to be a part of that? If people see us fighting within ourselves about what the Bible says and what we believe about what the Bible says, and our own church splits apart, our letter of recommendation is other people to say, I don't want any part of that. I'm sure you've been asked to write a letter of recommendation, or you've asked somebody to write one for you before. And of course, you're looking for a glowing recommendation about the things that you've accomplished so that a new employer or new position might open up for you and that they might welcome you into that. Well, in the same way, are we going to be a letter of recommendation that people read our lives and read our hearts and listen to the things that we say and then say, I want to know what you have. I want to be introduced to that. Or are they going to see it and say, you know what? I want to steer clear of that. And so we too are messengers. We're apostles. We're sent ones with a message. When we go on to Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, it says this, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God, in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider what Paul is talking about in these several verses that are there, and then again, we take that and we put it on top of our church and say, what is God calling to? We see that Paul has this very strong passion for the gospel, a strong passion for the message of the gospel. And our passion needs to be the same message of that very gospel. Now, Paul said, this is what the gospel is. It was passed on from the Old Testament. It was passed on from prophets. In fact, in Isaiah 53, one of my favorite prophetic passages of scripture, and I'll just read a couple of verses from it. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, it says, he, talking about Jesus, hundreds of years later, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. God promised beforehand, this gospel is coming. This gospel message is coming. It was declared by the prophets hundreds of years prior to Jesus coming into this world on earth. And it was promised what? That he would come and that he would not be esteemed, that people would hate him, but people would, and he would be crucified and then wash our sins away. All of this was prophesied years ago. And Paul said, I have that same gospel message that was promised to us by God, that Jesus, this Messiah, the Savior, is coming, and that he has come. His name is Jesus, and let me tell you about him. We have this gospel message that we need to be passionate about as well. Now, I have to tell you, and I've done some research, and I've listened, read some other guys, and their research about it as well. The resurrection is not talked about much in the Old Testament. I can't point you to Isaiah or Jeremiah where it says, and this is going to happen. However, Jesus prophesied about it, didn't he? When he was traveling with his disciples, he said, this is what's going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to these officials, and they're going to crucify him. But on the third day, he's going to resurrect. So Jesus prophesied about it. But what's important about the gospel message is that without the resurrection, it's futile. And so the gospel message was declared years ago by the prophets, but it had an exclamation point when Jesus came and talked about it, and then it actually happened. In 1 Corinthians 15, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In 1 Corinthians 15, 13 and 14, it says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Did you hear that? If Christ had not resurrected, our faith would be in vain. But guess what? He did. He did resurrect. And because of that, we have a complete gospel message to be able to share. Just as Paul was passionate about that message, we're called to be passionate about that same message as well. And the gospel message is not just for those who don't believe. It's for us believers as well. We need to constantly preach the gospel message to our own hearts. Our mission here at Kalkaska Church of Christ is helping people journey with Jesus. Some people are not on that journey yet at all. And so we need to share the gospel with them so that they get on that journey to be like Jesus. And then there are those of us that have accepted Christ, but we want to be like Jesus. So we're on that same journey to become like him. And so the gospel is not just for the unreached, but it's also for those that have declared Jesus as Lord. We move on to another pretty good section in Romans chapter 1, 8 through 15. It says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation, both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. When we read those passages of scripture, we can tell how passionate Paul is about this church in Rome, how excited he is about the work that's taking place there, how excited he is that these Gentile believers, these people that have no background in knowing this God of Israel, yet starting from square one, they've come to understand that Jesus is Lord. And he longs so much to see them, to be with them, to share with them. Well, if we, again, take that and we put that on top of our situation here at Kalkaska, we have to say this. Our path starts here in Kalkaska. Our path starts in Kalkaska. And we have to say that history doesn't matter. As much as when it comes to the gospel, we can look back at the past and people maybe that we've tried to reach before and they ignored it or rejected it. Maybe they're certain sections of our community or areas that we think, oh, there's no use in going there. History doesn't matter when it comes to the gospel. Paul could have looked at the history of Rome and said, why would I want to go reach people there when they're the people that really kind of instigated and helped with Jesus being crucified? But he said, no, this message is for everyone so that everyone would come to believe. It's very important to start here first, because how can we reach to broader areas with the gospel if we can't even get it right in our own backyard? And then, as Paul said, and I hope that you are doing this and that I'm doing this every single day, are we constantly praying for our community? Are we constantly praying for our community? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without ceasing. I hope that you're not only stopping at 4:06 every day to pray that God would relieve our nation and our world from this coronavirus, but that you also are lifting up our community of Kalkaska, praying that God will put you in a situation to be able to share the gospel message with a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, someone that is in your circle of influence, and that God will bring them into your path so that you can share this awesome, incredible message that we have with them. I want to have the same passion for Kalkaska that Paul had for this church in Rome. Don't you? Don't you just want that to well up inside of you, that you could just feel it through the words that he's writing? Man, I just long to be there. I want to be a part of the work there. And the message is for barbarians and foolish people as well as wise people. I just want to be there in the action with you. Man, I pray that that's our prayer and that that is our determination as well. We want to absolutely be about sharing the gospel message with those who don't know it. This is our mission. This is our mission where God has planted us. I often think in the middle of wintertime, who in the world first settled in this place? When we got these big old snowbanks on either side of us, I'm thinking, man, this is just miserable. But God has planted you and I here with a message of the gospel to teach and to share and to let others see in our lives, but hear with our voices about who he is and the plan that he has for our life to grow, to be like Jesus. We go back to those two passages, Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples, teach them to obey, baptize them, and he'll be with us. In Acts chapter 1, you're going to be my witnesses, starting where? In Jerusalem. For us, starting in Kalkaska. The last couple of verses that I'll cover today are Romans 1, 16 and 17. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation. And that'll preach, will it not? Are you ashamed of the gospel message? Are you ashamed of being a Christian? Are you ashamed of believing that someone was born of a virgin and then died this crucial death, was buried, and then, yes, resurrected? Both of those things beyond human comprehension. Are you excited about that? Or are you ashamed of that? Because if we're not ashamed about it, and if we're sharing it, it is the power of God for salvation. That's eternity. That's life beyond this one. That's what we're carrying with us when we are equipped with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last point is that our pistis will be our mode and our model. I had to look for a P word because all the other ones had P words, and that's the Greek word for faith. So I was like, hey, that fits. So our pistis, or our faith, will be our mode and our model. When it comes to sharing the gospel and being excited about the gospel, our faith should be the mode in which we take it, meaning that should be the reason that we go with the gospel message is our own faith, right? We should have faith in taking that message to others, and we get that strength and power to get past being ashamed, to get past any fear of rejection by our own faith. But also let our faith be our own model, so that others will see who Jesus is by how we live. From our faith, we have strength to share. From our faith, we have strength to share. Mark 13:11, Jesus said this, and when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, don't be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Peter said that when we are baptized, we have our sins washed away, and we receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is living inside of us, so that if we're going before someone and we want to share the gospel and we're not sure what to say, we rely on the Holy Spirit. We trust Him to give us the words to speak. We trust Him to give us the direction, to get involved in someone's life, to walk alongside them, to make a friendship, to form some kind of relationship so we can get to the point of sharing the greatest news that has the power of salvation. In our faith is our message, and that is the power of God. In our faith is our message, that is the power of God, the gospel. Folks, we have the greatest message in the world. Our God reigns, especially at this time in our world with the pandemic and all kinds of craziness going on. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Whether it's in the workplace and you're wondering if your job's going to be there again for you, and you're looking at the bills and they're starting to pile up and the income's not so much piling up, guess what? Our God reigns. When we're seeing loved ones maybe suffer with sickness and maybe even losing them to the arms of Jesus, our God reigns. And if we can absolutely believe that with all of our heart and take that message to the world, that's the message they need to hear now. That regardless of what happens, our God reigns. All the more important for people to know who Jesus is when they see all this craziness going on around us. And you know what the other message that we have that is the greatest message of the world? His grace is still amazing. His grace is still amazing. No doubt you'll come across some people that will think that they're too bad. They're not, that the church will burn down if they walk through the doors. You've heard that said before, right? But the fact of the matter is that God's grace is still amazing. No matter where you've been and what you've done, we have a God that loves us. He loves us enough to have sent his son Jesus to die for us, conquering death 3 days later so that we can have a resurrection as well. We can unite with him in Christian baptism, washing our sins away, uniting with him. And in doing so, we too can have salvation. This power of God that allows us to have life everlasting with him when this world is done. That's the greatest message that's out there, and we have it to be able to share. I mentioned at the beginning that that musical Newsies. And if you do a story or do some background, it actually, that musical was based on a true story. This guy named Blink something, I forget that was his nickname. But he basically got all the Newsies to band together to go on strike because they were being charged too much for their papers to be able to sell and this kind of thing. And they band together so much and became a group so much that one report says, I think in 1898 it was, that they actually stopped traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. That's how many of them band together and said, we have this message to get out. And it wasn't about what was on the newspapers. It was about the message that they had to share to say, listen, we're being wronged and we want everybody to know about it. And they band together so much they were stopping traffic in probably the busiest place in the United States. Are we ready to band together to stop traffic and say, listen, Kalkaska, you need to know who Jesus is? Are we ready to band together and be the Newsies, just like Paul, to say, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to work alongside you to share the gospel message so that others will come to know who Jesus is. I don't know why this week, but I was watching the NFL draft. I don't know if it's because just a lack of sports or what. I like to see who the Lions draft, and they usually bust, so it doesn't really matter a whole lot, but I usually like to watch and see who they draft. I like to see who the Colts draft. I will admit that's my other team. And I watch for any Spartan or Wolverine players. I want to see, you know, if they're going in the draft, I guess. But they were going name after name, and guys I'd never heard of. So I'm like, why am I spending my time doing this? What was exciting, though, is when, because they're doing this one virtually, or they did this one virtually, is they would go to cameras that were in people's homes. And when these players were getting these messages, the parents were jumping up and down and shouting and screaming. And the players, some of them were crying, some were excited, some were just relaxed. This one guy had a bathrobe on. Well, I don't know what that was all about. But when they finally saw the message, we got to see the excitement that they had. Folks, we come with a greater message than, hey, you've reached the pinnacle in football. We've got a message that is life-giving, life-saving, one that alters lives greater than the millions of dollars that any of those guys are going to be paid. We have a message of the gospel. It's worth being rejected for. It's worth being turned away from for. It's worth dying for. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He had all these things happen to him, but that didn't stop him because he knew he had a message that had to be out there for others to hear, for others to understand, for others to get, because it was salvation that was at stake. Folks, we have that as well. His grace is still amazing. And let's be about letting the community of Kalkaska, first and foremost, know who Jesus is. Let's get excited about that. That when this pandemic lifts, we are ready to proclaim Jesus because he still reigns and because it's the power of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning that we could come together and that we could worship you even by way of computer. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be excited about sharing the gospel message of Jesus with those who don't know, so that others will come to know you as Lord and Savior, that they would get to experience the power of salvation. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you for that grace. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks again so much for joining us. If you're here on the 9 a.m. service, remember that at 10:30 a.m. on our kccwired.com page, you can see the streaming service. And even if you saw the first one, you can connect there with people to get prayer for something. You can just generally connect with people. It's a good time to just maybe feel a little more in a community rather than just being stuck at home all the time. But again, thank you so much for joining us today. So just reminders, Andy's study, the morning dive. So tomorrow it's going to happen at 8 a.m., so 8 a.m. on Monday. But then the rest of the week it's going to be the normal 9 a.m. Also, we have the prayer time, which is at 4:06 p.m. every day. Set an alarm, set a timer, set something. And what we're doing is we're just at that specific time, everyone's just going to try to stop what they're doing, and we're just going to pray together, lift up this nation that's hurting, lift up the families that are hurting, just try to pray about basically just anything, and we're going to see if we can just try to curb this stuff by praying and lifting it up to God and letting him be able to see that we're letting him take control. So we're going to hope you join us on that. But other than that, thank you all so much. Again, if you saw this, maybe you want to invite people that might have missed this. This is going to be on the 10:30, but it's also going to be just available on our pages. It's just going to be there all day. It's not going to be live, but it's going to work. All right. Thank you again.